All right, look at Romans chapter 4. Talking on training for reigning as a series. And we're getting down to this area now we call seeing the invisible. All right, let's look at starting at reading at verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now, all this starts with verse 1, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he were of to glory, but not before God. And what did he find? He found out how to conduct himself in a way that God will treat him like he never sinned. Verse 3, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God. Oh, have mercy. To believe God, you got to believe what he said. And it was accounted to him for what? Righteousness. Righteousness was made, put to his credit. Righteous. Okay, this is powerful stuff here. It really is. This, that the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not just to Abraham, but to Abraham and his seed. If you're a seed of Abraham, raise your hand. Okay. Over in Galatians, it said his seed is one, because we are one. And verse 16, it says, therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Then it says, as is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. I have made thee. All right, so we're talking about seeing the invisible. I have made thee. So we said, basically, there is no future in God. That when you're talking about God and talking about what he is doing, God really doesn't start till he's finished. So he is, whatever he's going to do for you, he's already done. Am I right about it? And what happens is you have to get it by faith. And faith is always when? Right now. Faith doesn't have a future to it. It's always now. So one of the things you have to do is harmonize with God to be able to get what God has for you. Now the Bible says he has reserved better things for us, as Hebrews 11:40. And these better things for us, he's reserved better revelation, better manifestations, better way of doing things. And why aren't these things in the church today? Mainly because people are not really following and believing the word of God. He said that they have a form of godliness, but denying the power. And other folk, the Bible says, no man having drunk old wine straightway desireth the new. People still desire that old wine. God tried to get them to go to a place where they can spiritually grow. They don't want to go there. They want to stay right down there where they are. And so forth. And there's nothing wrong with that, but people use excuses. And, well, my grandmama's buried out back. Dig her up and bring her on over there to this other place. Now, I'm not being irreverent to your family. I'm telling you right now, you need to break all those things that may stand between you and God having a relationship that God had planned from the beginning. And that word is called sanctification. Sanctification is merely stripping out whatever stands between you and God. Okay? Now, When you're talking about this, you're saying, you know, basically, there is no time. And when you talk about no time, you're talking about really looking into another realm. You're looking into a realm where everything's already done. And this higher realm, you look into it through something called revelation. Say revelation.
Revelation.
And revelation really elevates you above the present. Whatever the present is, revelation elevates you above this. He said, I have made you a father of many nations. So it revelates you above the present age, and elevates you above the present age, and it elevates you above matter. Because matter, because of Adam's fall in the garden, was really the limit by which he was able to operate. Matter. But now you're operating above that. I was listening to a guy. He said he went to heaven, had experience going to heaven. And one of the things he experienced sight. He said it was amazing what happened to his sight. He said he could see everything. And he said he could see a plant all the way down to its molecular structure. Boy, I'll tell you, man. Okay, all right. So, right now in this three-dimensional world, one of the things that functions as an element is time. And that the enemy needs time, basically, if he is going to function in his system. His system must have time. So when you supersede time, you have just gone out of reach of the enemy's ability to control you. Got it? And if God didn't plan for us to go over, supersede, dominate time, then he never would have given us faith. If he planned for us to be controlled by time, he wouldn't have given us faith. All right? Well, that's all I'm going to say about that. So when you're talking about some things here, you're talking about, again, revelation. Talk about seeing something that cannot be seen with the natural five physical senses. And we're going to come back to that. So God has some plans for this planet. And he gave them to Adam. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. But then he said, he blessed him and said to him. Now these words weren't not communicating. They were transferring power. And he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. That replenish has to do with recover the form of fullness of it. So Adam was now had a mandate, I call it the Eden mandate, to make every place on earth like the garden. Okay? Now he had himself the ability to do this with the blessing. That blessing was so strong, not only could it make stuff happen, but it'll keep it in play. It'll sustain it. Now, in this, what Adam did, of course, Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. Once he did, it got cut off. So now he's limited to this three-dimensional world. But God came in, made a covenant, because he had to get a way back in here. Made a covenant with a man named Noah first, and then came and made a covenant with Abraham. So now, this covenant allowed God to come back in and basically get his son back in. So as he did that, Jesus comes back in, and now Jesus begins to show us how the original Adam functioned. And the original Adam functioned by revelation, by discernment. And so now he can see further than matter, but he can see the spectrum of reality of the spirit world. Now, this is what we said is happening now. God is looking for seers. Because remember, the religious leaders, they be blind, what? Leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, what's going to happen to everybody? Everybody's going to fall into the ditch. So now Jesus has to come and demonstrate some things here, and they hated him for it. They wanted to kill him, so forth and so on. So as we look at this and look at how Jesus did walk, religion is a strange thing because it's a counterfeit. It's not real. And I'd like to say it like this. If you've been on the road to Mississippi for 40 years, and you haven't gotten to Mississippi, wouldn't your lightning fast mind tell you, maybe, just maybe, I'm on the wrong road? See, religion will have you to come to church and jump up and shout, you know, praise the Lord, but you never go anywhere. You never go anywhere. That was the tree that Jesus cursed, that thing, because it bore no fruit. It's not something that is increasing. It's what you got with it, just something taking up the ground. And when you are not moving in your life, or you don't see any real change, it seems like you're just as mean today as you were 10 years ago, and just as broke today as you were 20 years ago, then your lightning fast mind ought to tell you, wait a minute. God has a covenant here that he increases me more and more, me and my children. Say amen to that. So I'm saying here that I think a lot of the church is trying to eventually go to some place where they don't have to believe God for a thing. They don't have to use their faith and then, oh no, I'm just going to sit up here and pray the Lord and you know, greet baby sister, and I'm going on home. Now, God wants more out of you than that, because he had plans for this planet, and he has birthed you in the earth at this time to make those plans manifest. Say amen to that. Amen. All right. Now, as we look at this, just a minute, let me get this other little paper out here. I got a lot of little papers here, praise the Lord. We talked about seeing things and viewing things, or viewing the earth, from heaven's perspective. And when Jesus came and went back and died on the cross of Calvary and went back seated at the right hand of the Father, he enabled us again to have these spiritual senses activated. And you can see the future, especially your future. Now, heaven, we found out, is a spiritual world. All right, let's go over here. I'm just going to take a little bit more time now. I got 31 minutes. I don't know what happened to that clock. Boy, that was pretty fast. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, please. I mean, I know I want to finish on time, but man, that happened pretty quick. Okay. All right. That's all right. That's all right. We can get it in. All right. Let me know when you get this. Say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Verse 2. Grace and peace. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all, underline all, spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places. Where? In Christ. All right? Somebody said, well, that's spiritual, Pastor. Well, that's the idea. That before things are natural, they're spiritual. And you have been blessed with how many spiritual blessings?
All.
All spiritual blessings. Everything according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Everything according to life and godliness you have been blessed with. According to life. It's a house according to life. So you've been blessed with everything. He's got everything up there, and you've been blessed with it. And, glory to God, that there's plenty there. That heaven is not going to run out. Glory to God. And these things have been placed there for us that we can receive them by faith through the knowledge of God. So heaven is not lacking in any provision for you and your family. Now, you ain't gonna rush me, so I'm gonna just take my time and say what I wanna say. And we said something about it. We said that even repair parts are there. That whatever man cannot repair, God will restore it. Now, this is all for believers. I'm not talking right now. I'm not preaching to unbelievers. I'm preaching to believers right now. I'm preaching to people who believe that there is a realm that you can access by faith that has everything that you'll ever need in abundance, and it's reserved there for you. It's got your name on it. Say, my name is on it. Now, let's go to Genesis in chapter 13. See, when you're preaching this kind of stuff, you can't look at people's faces. Because they really get ugly when you start preaching something like this. You know, because their mind be trying to figure out, what is he talking about? Because your mind is not renewed. I'm not talking to your mind right now. I'm talking to you. All right, look what it says here. And you'll watch, you're going to get happy. Verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him. Underline, after Lot was separated from him. See, that's why some of y'all can't hear God. I mean, you're carrying around a bunch of folk who don't want to go anywhere. Let me stop on that for just a minute. You know what I'm saying? They're not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere. They just own you just to weigh you down. And it's, if I can use this expression, suck your blood. They're just trying to tire you out, get everything that you can get. See, Lot wasn't doing it. He wasn't believing God for nothing. It was Abraham that the blessing was on. But Lot was just getting a spillover. You know, are you following what I'm saying? And sometimes you got to separate from those folk. Something about them sometimes you take with you because, you know, they're company for you. And we like, you know, folks to be around us, encourage us sometimes, so forth. But sometimes the Bible says in Isaiah 51, God called Abraham alone. Sometimes you got to go by yourself. You got to leave baby sister Pukiniam, leave all them behind you and get going yourself. Say amen to that. Now, that's all I got to say about that. But it says here, it says, and the Lord said to Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look on the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, and to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. So we said, until you can see it, you're not entitled to get it. So as far as you can see, he said, I'm going to give it to you. So we want to see what God wants us to see. So what is revealed to you will be restored to you. What is revealed to you will be restored to you. Now understand, we got to restore everything, because the Bible says over in Joel chapter 2 that I'll restore to you the years that the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and my people shall never be ashamed. So he's going to restore to us the years. Now, not just your life, but he's going to restore the years that mankind had lost. The fallen part of man, God's going to restore that. And we said that he never brings it back up to where it was. He always makes it better. And so now he is telling Abram, he says, now as far as you can see, to thee will I give it. Now, understand, whatever is revealed to you is going to be restored to you. However, enemy is out trying to block you from seeing what you supposed to see. Say amen to that. And so here is Abram, and the thing that was happening between him, verse 7 of chapter 13, and there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. Now, I won't read any more. Abram just ended up telling him, don't let any strife be between us. Whatever you want, take it. I'll take the other. You know, he knew God's blessing would be on him, and wherever he landed, it's going to be coming like the Garden of Eden. So my point to you is people with strife around you can cause a sense, a sight deterioration. Y'all follow what I'm saying here? Let's go over to 1 Corinthians, please. And 1 Corinthians and chapter 3. Now, why is this so important? It's so important because God has all spiritual blessings for you. Now, I'm going to show you something. You know, y'all, sometimes we work this thing, and we work it so that these blessings are all ours, meaning that he said he's blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And we look at the blessing that we need to receive. Let me tell you something. This, my God shall supply all your what? Need. Okay? Now, the key is that once you've been taken care of, make somebody else's need your need. And watch the blessings pour out for that. See, in this spirit realm, there is phenomenal wealth. It is plenty for you to build any city on earth. Now, God's going to use the wealth of the sinner to get that done. But your believing for it has to come based on what you see. And I'm not talking about seeing with the natural eyes. Your natural eyes cannot see the spirit. And the things that God has for you are spiritual. Now, they may be some in the earth and laid up in somebody's hands, and God's going to transfer it, but you got to see it first. Come on now. Whatever is revealed to you is what's going to be restored to you. Are you following what I'm saying? So I got to make sure nothing's blocking my spiritual sight. Because once I got born again, my eyes got open. I can see again. Oh, Lord, have mercy. What do I have you right now? 1 Corinthians. Hold something right there, 1 Corinthians. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 6, please. Very quickly. Let me know when you get there. All right. 2 Kings chapter 6. You know the story. This is when the prophet Elisha was giving away secrets as to which way the Syrian army was going to attack Israel. And the king of Syria, after 3 or 4 attempts to try to attack him, he was then cut off. He said, wait a minute, I've got a traitor in my camp. Now, he's thinking naturally. And there was a servant said, no, that's not a traitor, O king. But there's a prophet down there. Now, a prophet is a seer. There's a prophet down there, and he knows what you're saying, even in your bedchamber. Come on now, I'm going to work my way into something, see. Because all of your natural physical senses, your eyes, ears, your hearing, your smelling, all that's rooted in your spiritual senses. The only reason you got that in the natural is because you got it in the spirit. And that's what one of our speakers came. He came to help activate your spiritual senses. Because they're right there. Now, God didn't send you out here to compete with the world. He sent you out here to dominate it. And you can't dominate the world in time. You can't dominate the world in the flesh. You and the world just going to be warring all the time. Say amen to that. But you got to come on up to another level where you're operating above the world. You can see where the world wants to go or what the world's doing or whatever have you, and cut it off. The physical can't fix the physical. It takes the spirit to fix the physical. All right. So look what it said in verse 13. He said, go and spy where he is, and I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. And therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and great hosts, and they came by night. Now underline by night. And compassed the city about. Now what does that mean? It means they surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, master, how shall we do it? In other words, we're surrounded. Now what are we going to do now? And he answered, fear not. Say, fear not.
Fear not.
For they that be with them are more than they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, what? I pray thee, what? Open his eyes that he may what? See. Now, wait a minute now. Didn't he see already?
Yes.
Didn't he see the Syrian army?
Yes.
Didn't he see the Syrian army?
Yes.
But I'm telling you that as an act of redemption, God has opened up again your spiritual eyesight. Come on now. Because all they could see was the problem. But what Elijah could see is the promise. Say amen to that. And folks, let me say, I'm not saying do anything spooky with this, but I'm saying when we start talking about spiritual things and the fact that you got some angels with you, you let me preach on that enough. And pretty soon, your spiritual senses will start being so convinced, faith coming, that all of a sudden you'll start discerning. Whoa. See, and if you look right at it, you can't see it, but sometimes you can catch it out of the corner of your eye. Now, what am I trying to do to you? I'm getting you ahead of the game. Because they thought they were going to sneak up on the man of God just because they came at night. Well, in the spirit, there is no night. And you know what your opponent is going to do before he ever does it. Come on, you know what he's thinking even when he's on the other side of the negotiation table. Come on now, you know what the other lawyer is going to say before he ever brings it out. I'm saying you can set up for victory. Lord have mercy, that came out the spirit. Hey. You don't need to lose another battle. Well, Pastor, you know, Reverend, we win some and lose some. No. That ain't in the scriptures. That's not in there. Come on now. Yeah. See? And so as a result of that, he said, praise the Lord. Now open his eyes. And the Bible says the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. They said young because his sight was good. But he only had natural sight. But natural sight is not good enough for restoration. Got it? So the more we see, the more we can have. See a lot, have a lot. See a little, have a little. Are you following what I'm saying? But God has to be in line with your own mental capacity. So he won't bypass your mind. Don't ever think that. He doesn't do that. Okay? So as a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. So now, where do I have you? Well, what he did then is he said, you know, Lord, blind him, and he blinded him and took the whole army down, fed him, and the servant said, what are you going to do now, kill him? He said, no, I'm going to let him go. And he said, Lord, open their eyes, and send them on back to the king. Now, that's the way to fight a battle. I said, that's the way to fight a battle. God never meant for you to struggle for anything. In fact, your days of struggling are now over. I said, your days of struggling with people, struggling on the, oh Lord, I'm prophesying now. Come on now, I can see something, I can see it. Your days of struggling in finances are now over. Your days of struggling with your kinfolks, they're now over. Your days of struggling with them kids is now over. Come on now. Your days, come on now. All the struggles are out of your life. Why? Because I said it. Now all you got to do is take it. Now don't be trying to analyze it because you can't, it doesn't make sense. It makes faith. Got it? All right. Now, where was I before we took that little rabbit trail there? Second King. No, I wasn't at Second King. First Corinthians. Okay. All right, now. Look what it says here in 1 Corinthians. He says in verse 1, and our brethren, this is Paul talking. He said, now I could not speak unto you as spiritual. All right. Boy, my hand is heating up, boy. It must be some anointing in here. I could not speak unto you as spiritual. Now understand, that's where you're supposed to be. You aren't saved, that's a natural man. Natural man receives not things of the kingdom of God, they're foolishness to him. Natural man is the same one that think you came from a monkey. Then the next place is a carnal person. That's one that's been born again, but still being affected by the circumstances, by the emotions, so forth and so on. Carnal believer. That's where most of the church is right now. I'm believing that they're coming out of that. And then the next is a spiritual person, a person now who is regulated in mind and thinking, and actions are regulated by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. Say amen to that. Amen. Now that's where you got to be to dominate. Dominate, you can't dominate here. Okay? So he wanted to speak to them in spiritual, but he couldn't. He had to hold back and make it carnal. And so as you do that, he said, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife, come on, and divisions, are you not what? Carnal. And walk as who? Men. What's another word for that? Mere men. Mere men. You are not a mere man. You got something under the hood. I said, you got something under the hood. Yeah, you got something under there that is more powerful than anything that the world has. You are connected up with God. Your limitation is God, and God can flow through you, and any job that needs to be done can be done through you. Say amen to that. But he says something here where there is one of the things here he says is envying and strife and divisions. Now, divisions is interesting because one of the things I notice that's happening in our Congress, it looks like a spirit of division. Is somebody hear what I'm saying now? Looks like a spirit of division in our Congress. And I'm saying that God doesn't want that in the church, because a house divided in itself shall not stand. So we got to get rid of that spirit of division. Now, I'm only saying that because I want people, you know, people send me things, you know, letters and books and so forth, you know, trying to teach me. And then bless their heart, they mean well. But, you know, I see these things and I see them, and it's kind of interesting. I can tell which newscaster they're listening to by how the letter reads. I can tell who listening to CNN. I can tell who listening to Fox. I can tell who listening. And all of them listening to the devil. That's the point of it. See, the point of it is that media right now has been controlled by the enemy. We're still in the process of taking over that media. I'm talking about the Christians now. You see, he didn't send you here to take sides. He sent you here to take over. Say amen to that. And the enemy is trying to use that not so much to control the world. He got them. Because that the Bible says that Satan, Revelation 12:9 says Satan has deceived the whole world. So he got them. He got them covered. But he knows that if you rise up in the spirit and get your discernment together, you're going to rule him. You're going to take that very station that he's trying to pump all that garbage out with. You follow what I'm saying? And the way he can do it is get you in division. Because if he can get you in division, then now you have no revelation. Now if you have no revelation, you can't get access to your restoration. Say amen to that. So it's up to him to try to get you into a point where you're going to take something as truth, and it's a lie. It is not truth at all. Jesus said this, I judge no man after the flesh. Folks, if you could do it and rule this thing with your natural intelligence and with your natural eyesight, we would not have the problems that we have in today. The reason why the devil still had control of this thing, control of the money, control of the economy, control of the education, putting books in kids' hands of Steve and Adam instead of Eve. I'm talking about the reason why that can go on, because you don't have control. And the reason why most of the people of God don't have control is because we still got division. We still got strife. We still got envy. They envied me when we got that bank. They talked about me. They met on me, a whole group of pastors. I'm talking about that was nothing but pure envy. We don't want you to buy a bank in our neighborhood. What? Then you buy it. My point to you is, listen, they envied me when we bought this mall. Notice what they showed up. One guy came 4 years later after we purchased it, said, Pastor, I really want you to forgive me. This is a pastor. I said, what is it, brother? He said, well, I really said some mean things about you. I said, well, now, why'd you do that? He said, I don't know. He said, I just got in, the devil was stuck. I said, yeah, that's who it was. It was the devil. Now, notice, that was nothing but envy. There was nothing but envy. And a lot of times you envy other folk because you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You see, if you got your head down, plowing your road and doing what you're supposed to do, you won't envy me. But the reason why you envy me is because you ain't doing what you're supposed to do. Is this the right bunch I'm talking to? Man, you don't need to envy my car. You don't need to envy my suit. You don't need to envy what God is doing to me. Just hear God and do what he told you to do, and you won't envy nobody else. You got nothing to show for the time that you've lived in this earth, and it bothers you. And it's still bothering you because you're still envying. Stop envying me. Stop trying to evaluate whether I'm trying to do this, that money, does this. Stop evaluating that. Go do what you're supposed to do. Because I'm not evaluating you. I could care less what you call to do. Seen people, this didn't happen till you get in church. It wasn't even that bad in the world. Somebody in the world get a new car, new Jaguar, or even a new Rolls Royce. That's, hey, bro, hey, man, you rolling, Doc. Well, you got some skills. But in the church, you roll up in something. Now, she didn't need that. You know, she, girl, you know, she got a car the other week. You broke, you want to make everybody else broke. Remember when I told this guy in my hometown, I said, man, you know, we're gonna believe. He said, I heard you believe in God for airplane. I said, yeah, I am. He said, what kind are you believing for? I said, the Gulfstream. What? You mean you're gonna believe God for that and I'm trying to find a job? Now, what that supposed to make me do? Oh, well, I'm sorry. I'm gonna let that go. I'm gonna walk to Saudi Arabia. Yes. They're not satisfied till they pull you right down to the place where your spiritual side is not working anymore. You're down there in the devil's den, and he's trying to toss you around and get you upset and keep you broke and make you sick and make you wonder whether you're going to have a job tomorrow and so forth, when you should be well, when you should be rich, when you should have bought the company by now. Come on. When you should have been a testimony for everybody in your community saying, look what the Lord has done for me. That's where you should be. All right, y'all with me? Sit down. Let's finish. Y'all got me preaching up in here today. Now, there are some people sitting up in here right now. They don't like this. They don't like this because they're still demon controlled. They're still looking for something that they can take somebody and make them feel low. And the reason why they're trying to make me feel low is because they feel low about themselves. They have an inferiority complex, and they're trying to put somebody under their feet. I ain't going. Excuse my English. I ain't going. I'm going to preach the gospel up in here until Jesus comes. And you going to prosper. You're going to be healed. Your family is coming together. It will work for you. All right. Where am I? 1 Corinthians? So you can tell who they're listening to. All you got to do is listen to them long enough. Now, this is the way you can tell it. Turn to Matthew chapter 12, please. Did y'all come in here for the truth? I mean the whole truth. I mean nothing but the truth, so help me, Jesus. And I'm not trying to show out. Somebody told me last time, yeah, he listened to you. Yeah, I brought him in. He's visiting. He listened to you. But, you know, he said, oh, he, I don't know about him. I don't believe all that he's saying. Hey, I ain't telling you to believe me, homeboy. You ain't got to believe nothing I say. Just watch my dust. You ain't got to believe nothing I say. I ain't here to prove nothing to you. Not a thing, man. I ain't trying to impress you. I'm trying to tell you how God did it for me so you can pick up on it and do it for you. And you know, sometimes you don't have everything. You just got to fake it till you make it. Come on now. You got to say, by his stripes, I'm healed. When you follow what I'm saying? You got to just fake it. By his stripes, I'm healed. I'm here. Yeah, by his stripes, praise God, I'm here. You just got fake it till you make it. All right, let's go over here. Yeah, see, I can tell who you're listening to. See? Write me them letters, send me them books, trying to get me to get in division with you. I ain't going. I know too much. There's one time early in ministry, I was sucked into that. Just about split the congregation. Sure. No, not here to take sides, here to take over. Here to take over. I'm here to establish God's kingdom in every place. Say amen to this. All right. We doing okay? See, you can't. I'm not. You're not my source. See, I'm not trying to hustle you. I ain't no pimp and no punk preacher. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to give you the truth. God is my source. But there's some people, they be with you, boy. Hey, praise God, pastor, yeah. And then all of a sudden you teach your holiness. Well, crucify him. And thank you. Tell that pastor. So I know it's fickle. All right. Okay, what did I tell you, Terry? I got to finish. Ooh, I'm out of time. Can I get 3 more minutes? That's all I want now because I'm getting out of here. Amen. Verse 34. O generation of vipers. Now this is Jesus now. He calling these religious folks snakes. Listen, come on now. And you got to know something to call them some snakes. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, what's going to happen? The mouth is going to speak. A good man out of the good treasure bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word, idle is a useless, non-working, dead, non-productive, inoperative word, that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, he gives you the formula here, see, because he's talking about now coming out of the spirit again, because the natural world is controlled by the more powerful world of the spirit. And you can speak like Jesus. He said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. He spoke to a fig tree and what happened to it? It died. It obeyed him. He spoke to a storm and what happened to it? It stopped. He spoke to a dead man, and what did he do? He got up and he said, the things that I do shall you do. Not only shall you do, but I'm gonna do greater things through you. It's stuff that I didn't even do that you gonna do. Man, this is our time. Now you got to rise up, because nothing's supposed to happen in this earth without our permission. You better hear what I'm saying. The problem with the church, the world, is the church, that we need to rise up. We need to take our authority. Whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth, say amen, is loose in heaven. It says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, come on, and he will flee from you. Folks trying to resist the devil and have him submitted. You got to submit to his word. If his word says, pray for those in authority, that's what you do. You better stay with me.
Now that's when I come 300 miles a year. That's
what
I come.
That's it.
Yes.
We're trying to have authority without being under authority. And it doesn't work. The measure that you meet will be measured to you. So what am I telling you now? I'm saying that we're going to establish a new kingdom here. And nobody is going to be able to stop you from reaching your destiny but you. Do you hear what I'm just telling you? Look what he said. A good man, out of the good treasure or good deposit of the heart, what does he do? Brings forth, come on, good things. Watch this. An evil man, out of the evil deposit, what does he do? Brings forth evil things. So your future is in your heart. That nobody that can control your future but you. Say amen to this. Now, if you turn on that TV long enough and let the devil sow some seeds in your heart, then that is what's going to come out of it. And folks sending me books that are just in error. Folks, I'm telling you, we got to watch what we hear. You got to run it through the filter of the Holy Ghost. Say amen to this. Let me show you something. Can I show you something? Come on, come on. Turn. Turn to John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I'm almost done. I know you got some chicken in the oven and the goose is getting cooked.
I ain't got nothing better than this, dude.
Yeah. See? Well, they don't preach like this in my church. You ain't in your church. The reason why God sent you down here, because you need a good dose of the Holy Ghost. We're going to do this thing right, see, because we're going to rise up in authority and we're going to fix whatever's broken this thing. Say amen to that. It doesn't take much, folks. The church has so much power. So much power. I told him this morning, I said, I'm telling you, the Bible talks about the fact that, you know, you go in Joel chapter 2, it said, you'll fall on a sword and won't even be hurt. Now that, I believe that's where we're going. I think death is going to be suspended. You remember Terminator and Arnold Schwarzenegger and them? And this lady who was from another planet, she came to get, you know, to do away with the Terminator. And she came, you know, and he'd get this big gun and shoot at her, boom, and a hole would blow in her. And as soon as it does, she'd stagger for a minute, the hole would close back up, and she'd start walking again. So, I'm saying that's where you're going to be. Boy, they're going to think you put you down. You're going to rise up and start walking again. Y'all can tell what I've been looking at, didn't you? Now, where do I have you now? Now, listen, I'm about to close. I got to close because I see y'all come here to stay. Here's the deal. A good man, out of the good deposit, brings forth good things. It's amazing what people have gone through and what they've done, only because of the deposits that were made in their hearts. No matter whether you are young or whether you're old or whatever, those deposits in your heart is what you bring forth in your life. Are you following what I'm saying? So my future is not in your hands. It's in my heart. And if that be the case, then nobody can stop me from reaching my destiny. Watch this. But me. How many Jews were there out in that wilderness? Maybe 2-3 million. Okay. How many did they send to spy out the land? 12. They came back. How many had an evil report? How many had a good report? Now understand, take heed what you hear. Because both of them preached. Both of them preached. But the ones that preach truth, the folk didn't want to hear. The ones that preach fact, the folks took it readily. Because that's a carnal believer. Got it? So now the next thing that happened is that now Joshua and Caleb said, let us go up at once and possess it. For watch this, we are well able. They didn't say the Lord is able. They say we are well able. You got what I'm saying? So what happened? They wanted to stone them. But let me ask you a question. Out of 3 million people resisting them, did they still get to the promised land? It doesn't make any difference how many people don't want you to go.
Come on, Pastor.
Woo! Doesn't make any difference. How about the storm that was on the boat? Here's Jesus and his disciples. He said, let us go to the other side. That's destiny. Notice when they got in the middle of the place, a great storm came up. And notice what happened? The disciples said, hey, don't you care about us? We're about to die. And Jesus woke up and rebuked the storm, said to the wind, peace be still. Now stop calling it a storm. Call it a storm system. The enemy has a system to stop you. But watch this. If you have a good treasure in your heart, even a system cannot stop you. Makes no difference. See, he has made it so we can go into other nations and take control. He's made it that way, that they can't control us. Nobody will. They can't. You got angels around you. You got control over systems. And no, three million people can't stop you. Now, what else do you need? But you got to be in the spirit. If you're down there in the flesh, the moment somebody pushed the wrong button, you, I didn't like y'all, no way. But and next thing you know, you coming out of it, you won't be like Schwarzenegger. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Isn't that the way you pronounce his name?
Yes.
Schwarzenegger. Okay. All right, let me give you this last part. Y'all got me down here, man. Where am I? First John 2. I don't even think I want to go there. Man, I got to go home and get some string beans.
We're pulling on.
Okay, are you pulling on? All right. Wait a minute. Okay, let's just look at this. Turn to Job, please. Job, chapter 32. Job, chapter 32. I'll give you that. Okay. Amen. Love you too. Praise God. Woo! Write this scripture down. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. That means it's depend on the world, you'll not receive revelation from God. So he's made it so that he's responding to righteousness. Woo! Nothing can keep you from reaching your destiny but you. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Where did I tell you to turn? Job chapter 32. Okay, don't leave now. I got the Holy Communion for you. What did I say? Job 32? Okay. Verse 7. I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the spirit and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. Now, what is he saying? Let me read it out in the Living Bible. I am young and you are old, so I held back and did not dare to tell you what I think. For those who are older are said to be wiser, but it is not mere age that makes men wise. Rather, It is a spirit of man and breath of the Almighty which makes him intelligent. So just because somebody's older don't mean they know more. All right. And look what it says here over in Joshua chapter 6, please. Joshua chapter 6. Let me know when you get there. Praise God. Amen. So notice what we're doing now. We're bringing you back to your spiritual senses. And so you can operate on a different level than the world does. Verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, what?
See.
The Lord said to Joshua, what?
See.
Say it again.
See.
One more time.
See.
A little louder.
See.
I have given into your hands Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. He hadn't even fought the battle yet, but God told him to see it. Now in 1 Samuel chapter 30, he says that here was David and his men out to fight a battle. And while they were fighting the battle, the enemy attacked their camp and of where their women and children were and burned it with fire in Ziklag. Verse 3, so David and his men, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 3, came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and his people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive. And I won't read their names, you can read them. Verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of what? Stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, and Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephah. And Abiathar brought thither the ephah to David, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail, you shall recover all. I'm saying right now that the enemy has run off with some of your stuff. Run off with your peace, maybe run off with a marriage, run off with whatever. But it's time to rest, to restore. And God's going to restore everything that has been stolen. He's going to repair everything that has been broken and everything that your heart's desire. God's going to bless you with in this life because it's your time for God's favor in your life. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we have for right now. Woo. Okay, if there's somebody here, before you move, please don't start moving around. Before you leave, there's somebody here, you don't know the Lord. And you've come and visited. Thank God that you're here. We're so glad you're here. But that's not all, just to sit in here, because sitting in a church service won't save you any more than standing in a garage will make you a car. You got to be born again. You got to receive him by faith as your Lord. That night I remember they brought me, a lady asked me, I was just crying out. I asked the Lord, would you please help me? Now, I'd been in church when I was a little kid, but you can be in church but still have no relationship with God. So what happened years later, things really start going bad. Got sick in my body, head over heels in debt, job performance at IBM going down. One night I just cried. I said, Lord, would you please help me? And he sent a dear sister who worked for the company by my desk. She said, hey, Bill, you want to go with me tonight? And I was single. She was single. She looked good. I said, yeah. And God knows how to get you to a meeting. And sometimes when you're desperate, you can hear a little clearer than other times. And so what happened is we went, and that was the night that things changed forever in my life. I received Jesus. And once I did, it was like the world had lifted up off my shoulder. You see, sin is heavy. It has a weight to it. It brings with it all kinds of sense of condemnation and guilt and shame and everything else. And every one of us has come this way. And there's something interesting about Jesus. He bore our sins. He carried all of our sorrows and pains. Where? On that cross at Calvary. That's what this week and leading up to Sunday represents. It represents everything that He's done for us. He paid the price. The Bible says this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." And so because He sent Him and His Son came and died for us, now we can live. But we have to receive Him. Have to receive Him. Now, what am I asking you to do today? If you know that you have no relationship with Him, oh, you've been in church, oh, you've done all these things, but you really don't know Jesus yourself. He's not, you don't know. If you died tonight, you're not sure you'd be in heaven. Well, that's not the way to live. God wants you to be sure. So if you're here right now and God is speaking to your heart, I want to pray with you right now. I want to pray that same prayer that prayed for me that night that changed my life forever. Let me tell you what God does. He loves you in spite of how you've acted. He loved you so much till He sent His Son to die. Now, would you give your children to die for somebody? Well, He did that. And He did it for you and me. Now, all He's asking today is that you respond. That you say, okay, I want Him to come into my life. So if you're here today, I want to pray with you right now. And if you'd like me to pray with you the same prayer they prayed for me that night, I'd like to do that. But here's what I need you to do. Take a step of faith. The Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. And it's not of works, lest anyone would boast. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. This is your day. I don't want you to miss it at all. Whoever's here, I'm not asking to join Living Word today. You can do that today if you'd like, but if you're not ready or want to send somewhere else, we'll send you there. Today, I just want to bring you into the family. So if you're here today, you know that I'm talking to you. Don't look at other people because they can't save you. Only one that can save you today is Jesus. So if you're here, you know that I'm talking to you. I want to pray with you right now. If you'd like me to do that, here's what I want you to do. Take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair. Come up here and stand with me right here at the altar.